Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Good morning and welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday. As we celebrate the entrance of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, we know that he rides on to die for us, to be the King of glory. Our first reading this morning and the words that will serve as the sermon text today, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. He is humble and is riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our Palm Sunday King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear family in Christ, what kind of a parade was that? That has to be the shortest parade in the history of the world. One man. That's all that was in the parade. There were no floats. There were no floating characters. There were no clowns riding tricycles. There were no marching bands. Just a one-man parade and a man riding on the back of a borrowed donkey at that. Well, in today's text, we have the opportunity to view that Palm Sunday parade through the eyes of the prophet Zechariah. And that's truly astonishing, especially when you consider the fact that Zechariah lived and prophesied about 500 years before that first Palm Sunday ever happened. And yet, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah writes about that parade in these words of our text as though it were already taking place. He says, "Look, your king is coming to you." And he did. And he is. You know, the psalm of the day, the psalm that we sang a little earlier in our service from Psalm 24, it's a psalm of David, and it asked an important question. The question, who is this King of glory? Brothers and sisters, for the strengthening of our faith and the heightening of our joy on this Palm Sunday, let's set out to answer that question on the basis of these words from the prophet Zechariah. Who is this King of glory? You know, one of the most precious gifts that God gives to his people is the gift of hope. The prospect of looking forward to something that God has promised us. And it fills us with this abundant joy because we know that whenever God promises, God always delivers. And so as God's people, through all of life's ups and downs, through all of our problems and challenges and setbacks, we cling to this certain hope of an everlasting glory that's coming in heaven. Back around 520 BC, the people of God who were living in the kingdom of Judah needed some hope. Things weren't going so well in the land of Judah. They probably should have been. I mean, God's people who had been exiled off in Babylon for 70 years had now been brought home and were settled back once again in their homeland. And so they could be excited about the prospect of rebuilding their homes and rebuilding the city walls of Jerusalem, rebuilding God's temple there in Jerusalem, basically rebuilding their lives. But they weren't happy. Times were tough and they were discouraged. And while the Jews had visions of their beloved land returning to its former glory, Judah was at this point a mere shadow of its former self. They weren't nearly as strong and mighty as the enemy nations around them. They had no super strong king to lead them. They had started to rebuild their beloved temple there in Jerusalem, but now once again, that rebuilding project had come to a complete standstill. And God's people were discouraged, and they needed some hope. And so it was that the Lord had his prophet Zechariah encourage his people by reminding them that the Lord is faithful and he never lets his people down. And in spite of appearances or their sagging spirits, Zechariah reminded the people of Judah that the Lord had not forgotten about them in this time of distress. And so notice what he says to God's people. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Why? What was so exciting? Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. He's humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Lord here is telling his people to get excited, to have some hope, to rejoice, to celebrate, to shout their praises to their king because their Messiah, their Christ, their promised Savior was coming to them. Well, who is this King of Glory that God promised? Zechariah helps us to answer that question in these words of our text. First of all, he says that this King coming to them is righteous. What a wonderful quality to have in a Savior King. He's righteous. You don't have to worry about King Jesus using his power to manipulate people, to abuse people, to let them down. You don't have to worry about King Jesus becoming a corrupt leader. You don't ever have to worry that this king is going to make a decision that will not serve in the best interests of his people because this king is righteous. He is holy. And he came here with the righteousness, the holiness, the perfection that we need to get into heaven. A righteousness that none of us have. Jesus comes to bring us that righteousness, that holiness. The King of heaven came down to earth to live a perfect and holy, obedient, righteous life in our place. Jesus kept God's law perfectly as God's righteous substitute. He came here for us. And praise be that Jesus takes that righteousness, that holiness that he has, and he gives it to us. He credits it to us. He makes us righteous in God's sight so that we stand perfectly holy before our God. There is no president, no ruler, no king, no head of state that could ever do that for you. But your righteous king has. Your king's coming to you. He's righteous. And Zechariah tells us he brings salvation. Salvation means rescue or deliverance. And of course, the salvation that Jesus brings is rescue from sin and death and hell. A deliverance from this world of sorrow to bring us home to the perfect glory forever in his paradise. And please notice, he has that salvation. He's bringing it. He's not looking to hoard it for himself or to taunt us with it. Not this King of Glory. He comes to bring salvation. Think of someone who's been lost at sea. They're bobbing up and down in the waves for hours on end. They have given up hope, and suddenly a boat comes along, and someone on board takes this life preserver attached to a rope and throws it out to that person, and they cling to it, and they're pulled safely back to the boat and rescued. This King of Glory came to bring you rescue. He rode into Jerusalem fully aware that he had come to trade places with us, to go to the cross, to bear our sin, to pay for it all there at the cross so that we could be rid of our sin forevermore. You know that word that the crowd shouted, Hosanna? It literally means, Lord, save now. And maybe they didn't fully realize what exactly that they were saying. They were mimicking some words that they knew from the Psalms, but Jesus, that Palm Sunday King, had come to save now. And the people would watch that unfold in the next several days. Who is this King of Glory? Zechariah says that he's humble. What a blessing, he's meek. Jesus is gentle. He does not come with a list of 587 rules barking at you. If you can just for once get your act together and start following his rules, then maybe he'll think about letting you into heaven. Not this Savior. He is gentle and humble in heart, and he comes to speak a gentle gospel to you. And when your heart is weighed down and burdened by the knowledge of your sinfulness, when you realize how pitifully far short you have fallen of God's righteous demands and wondering if God could ever love someone like you, then this King of Glory comes to you in the gospel and he lifts you up with his promises and he shows you the cross and the empty tomb and he reminds you it's all been done for you. He comes to you to forgive you, gently reminds you of all that he's done for you, and then invites you, follow me. Gentle, this King of Glory, this Jesus, exerts his almighty power for you, for his people. And he rides this lowly donkey, this beast of burden, the modern day equivalent, I suppose, of an old beat up pickup truck. He rides on a donkey to a cross. The crowds that lined the streets sang his praise at first Palm Sunday, but as you well know, by Friday, things had changed. Maybe they didn't feel as though King Jesus was the kind of king that they wanted. Maybe they were thrown off a little bit by the fact that he came in such lowly circumstances with such humility. Or maybe it was that by Good Friday, they just kind of got swept up by this mob mentality. But by Friday, instead of singing the praises of their king, they were shouting, "Away with him, crucify him." And they told Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." They didn't want Jesus. But let's bring that home. What do you want from this King of Glory? Sometimes I think we make the mistake of thinking that we just need Jesus to bring us some nice earthly blessings. Sometimes I'm afraid that we want King Jesus just to make it so that we can live a life without drama or trauma, to keep our pockets stuffed with cash and our homes filled with fine furnishings. What do you want from this King of Glory? Do you ever catch yourself valuing life's furnishings more than the salvation that he has furnished you with, the forgiveness that he's given you? Are we sometimes more interested in fashionable clothing than we are the robe of righteousness that this king came to clothe us with? Is it ever true of us that money and status in the eyes of the world become more important to us than our status that King Jesus comes to bring us to make us the beloved children of our Heavenly Father? And does this lowly, humble way in which the King of Glory comes to us, humble, riding on a donkey, leave us underwhelmed this morning? Would we rather see Jesus coming with all kinds of pomp and circumstances, amazing display of glory? And do we then grow cold to the things of God because he doesn't do what we think he ought to do or handle things in the time frame that we think he ought to handle them? Friend, your Palm Sunday King comes to you today and every day, righteous and having salvation. Please know, he is riding on that donkey on his way ultimately to a cross because he's a different kind of king. He's a king of glory. He comes to save your soul. Understand what he came to bring you and then give him your highest praise and your heartfelt hosannas and serve him with your all. Who is this King of Glory? The first verse of our text focuses on what he brings and what he's like. The second verse focuses on the kind of kingdom that he comes to establish. Through Zechariah, the Lord says, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and he will proclaim peace to the nations." Isn't that interesting? King Jesus, this King of Glory, is not the kind of king who is banking on military might. He's not looking to overwhelm people with weapons of war. In fact, he says he's going to take away the war chariots and the bows and the war horses. This, of course, is figurative language, right? Please understand the point. What's the Lord telling you here about this King of Glory when he says he's going to take away the war horses and the bow? He's telling you that Jesus comes as your King of Glory to establish a kingdom of peace. What peace? It's not worldly peace. It's the kind of peace that comes from knowing that though your sins are many, they're all forgiven. Thanks to what this King of Glory did this following Friday at the cross. The King of Glory comes to bring you a message of peace that was established for you by the blood that he shed for you as the Lamb of God. And whenever that gospel message takes hold in a sinner's heart, through the word or at the baptismal font, whenever that gospel takes root in someone's heart and someone is brought to faith in Jesus, that kingdom grows one soul at a time. It's a kingdom of peace. That's how Christ builds his kingdom, peace. Not the absence of sin from our lives. That won't happen this side of heaven. But the peace that comes from knowing that those sins are all forgiven. Not immunity from all of life's problems and pressures, but the peace that comes from knowing that he's going to take all those problems and in some way, somehow, work them all together for the good of you who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Peace. What's more, we're reminded here that his kingdom has no borders. It's universal. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Imagine that, a kingdom of peace that has absolutely no borders, that is not defined by any territory lines here or anywhere else, a kingdom that extends everywhere. You know what that kingdom is? That kingdom is what we call the Holy Christian Church. In other words, it's the sum total of every true believer in Christ, both here on earth and also in heaven. It is the kingdom of all believers. But ultimately, this is referring to the coming kingdom of heaven, established by King Jesus, a kingdom of perfect, never-ending peace and joy. And please know that when his time is right, this king who came riding into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, on Judgment Day, he will look at you and me and say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." That's King Jesus. If Jesus were running for office today, do you think he'd get many votes? This humble, gentle, unassuming king, this one who eschews the pomp and circumstance of earthly glory and wealth and instead rides on the back of a donkey on his way to a cross. The real question is, what does this king mean to you? Today the Lord says, look, your king is coming to you. As I was mentioning earlier, sometimes our presidents, in the wake of a natural disaster, a wildfire, a tornado, a hurricane, will go and visit the people who have been devastated by that disaster. They're there to spend time with the people. They're there to listen to the people. They're there to reassure the people that they will find some federal funding to give them help to rebuild their lives. To visit them, that's the right thing to do. But this King of Glory, he doesn't leave the White House. He leaves his home in heaven to come into a world that has been devastated by sin. And he comes here not to offer a little moral support, not even to promise you a little bit of cash, but he comes to make everything right. This amazing King of Glory, he comes to you from heaven, into Jerusalem, onto a cross, and through his gospel message, right straight into your heart. to reign there as your King of glory, your Lord and your Savior, to bless you from on high with every single blessing that he knows that you need for body and for soul. He comes to bring you his priceless gifts of grace. That's the King whose hosannas we are singing still to this very day. Our Jesus, our King, the King of glory, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.